The Holy Gospel, which will also serve as the sermon text, according to Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen. God's word that serves as the basis for this MLC Sunday was read as our gospel from Luke chapter 10, and so we pray. O Lord, whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing I desire besides you. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved. Amen. In the name of the word of life, Jesus Christ, dear fellow disciples of our Savior's word, Julie Andrews sang "Raindrops on Roses" and "Whiskers on Kittens." "Raindrops on Roses and Whiskers on Kittens." "Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings." Okay, good. So I'm not the only one who's seen that one. Maybe you agree with Julie Andrews' character in The Sound of Music, and you kind of like cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles. But whether it's those things or something else, we all have our favorite things. You know, those things in life that just make us feel safe and content, those things that just plain make us feel good. So what are your favorite things? I'm not going to make it rhyme, but maybe for you, it's a chance to get away to a family cottage somewhere. Or maybe it's way simpler for you, it's just a chance to sleep in every once in a while. If you're a kid, maybe it's sports and extracurricular activities. And if you're a parent, maybe it's watching them. Maybe you're the kind of person that likes the outdoors. You like to take in the hunting and the fishing and boating and downhill skiing and snowmobiling. Maybe your idea of a perfect day or a perfect evening is sitting in front of the TV with maybe in the summer with a cool drink, and in the winter maybe it's a warm cup of cocoa with the fireplace going, or maybe it's a date with your spouse, or maybe you're one of those people who loves to help. You're always going, you want to be the host with the most. All of those things are wonderful things, and of course each one of us here would say that Jesus is number one in our lives, and so he is our favorite thing. And you know what? For Martha, I think she would agree. Martha loved her Savior. And when she heard that he was coming over, I'm sure that she ran back to the house and started getting the soup ready and the bread made and the rooms cleaned. Martha loved her Savior so much that when she heard that he was coming over, she wanted everything to be just perfect for him. She wanted the food to be just right. She wanted the house to be just right. She wanted the company to be just right. Do you think Martha didn't want to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him? I think she did. But, right? There were so many other things to get done first. In fact, she got so flustered and frustrated that, did you catch it when Pastor read the gospel? She actually scolded Jesus. Like, "Lord, don't you care? I'm doing all the work. My sister, she's just sitting there. Tell her to help me." The Bible says that Martha was distracted. Literally, she was divided. She wanted to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him, but she wanted to make sure all the other dishes were prepared first. What Martha had a hard time seeing was that there's only one dish needed, and that dish was Jesus sitting right in front of her. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll just say for myself, so I don't accuse you of anything here, but when I read this account, oftentimes I'm a little too hard on Martha. You know, as though Martha was somehow sinning because she wanted a clean home for Jesus. or that Martha was somehow sinning because she wanted a nice meal prepared for her Savior. No. The truth is, these were wonderful acts of love done out of love for the Savior who loved her even more. The sin was not in preparing dinner. Now, the sin for Martha came in thinking anything was more important than sitting at Jesus' feet. The problem for Martha came in failing to recognize that one thing needful and then prioritizing it above everything else in her life. There's a story told about a diehard football fan who got to go to his first Super Bowl, and he was so excited. So he got to the Super Bowl, he got to his seat early, and the stadium's filling up, and then the game's just about to start, and he notices that the seat next to him is empty, and so he comments about it to the woman sitting across from him. "That was my husband's," she replied, "but he died." And the man said, "I am so sorry to hear that." And he thought for a minute, he said, "But even so, I can't believe somebody like a friend or a relative didn't jump at the opportunity to take a Super Bowl seat. I mean, it's the Super Bowl." "Beats me," she said. "They all insisted on going to the funeral." I'm just going to let it sink in for just a second. Maybe not so far-fetched in some parts of the country, but I think it actually illustrates the point really well. The problem is so often not with what we do, but what we're leaving undone. I mean, the equivalent of sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him for us would be being into his word. And I guarantee that if I took a poll of everybody here today, one question poll, I know what the result would be. Here's the question. Is reading God's word a good thing? Is being in his word a good thing? And of course, everyone here would say, yes, of course it is. This is what Christians do, right? A Christian would never complain about reading God's word. That would be like a person going, "Oh, I've got to breathe," or a fish saying, "Oh, I have to swim." No, we all know reading God's word is a good thing. But the question for us today is this: do our lives show that it's better than the other good things in our lives? In other words, that this is our favorite thing? Do you see my point? The problem is not with those incredible things that God gives us in our lives, those blessings. You know, the family cottage, or the chance to sleep in, the extracurricular activities, or the outdoor fun, being the host with the most, or even the awesome service that so many provide here at St. Paul's. That's great if these are a few of your favorite things. Now, the problem for us comes in failing to push out of our lives those things that draw us away from Jesus and his word. The problem for us comes in misprioritizing Jesus and the study of his word as first and foremost. And I know that when that happens in my life, that gets played out into every aspect of my life. No, the sin for us comes in getting worried and upset about, can we just face it, things that really don't matter. And failing to recognize that one thing needful, and like Mary, choosing what is better. Remember, Jesus told her that what was given her there would never be taken from her. I mean, do we sometimes get so caught up in chasing after the temporal that we actually lose out on some of those eternal blessings that God wants us to have, that eternal comfort right here and right now? I think if we're honest, we'd have to say, yeah. And yet when you read this account, it's a short account, but you have to notice something about Mary. She's silent. She doesn't say a word. And yet what the Bible speaks about her speaks volumes. This is what it says. It says, "Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Martha, Martha, only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Someone once said this. They said, "Faith is the highest worship. The posture in which one receives Jesus' greatest service and gifts is not the busyness of human doing, but the stillness of listening to the words of Jesus." And that's precisely what Mary chose to do. And Mary had a peace that Martha didn't have, not at that moment anyway. Like I said, this is a short account. And sometimes when I read accounts like this, I wonder, what do you think Jesus was saying to Mary to fill her heart with such peace? What words, what thoughts were going through her mind? I mean, maybe Jesus was saying, "Mary, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust in me. In my Father's house, there are all these mansions, and I'm going to go prepare one just for you. Mary, don't worry about anything. But seek first my kingdom, and I guarantee everything you need, you will have." Mary, I know that you love me, but I hope you know that I love you even more. I told you I need to go to Jerusalem. There I'll be treated like a criminal. There I'll be beaten and mocked. There I'm going to be murdered. But Mary, this is why I came. I came so that you and your brother Lazarus and your sister Mary might have life in my name. I came so that this life of yours that's so full of trouble and hardship might be a distant memory as you stand with me at my Father's side in heaven. Is it any wonder that Mary sat with rapt attention at Jesus' feet? How could this not be what she chose to do? How could this not be her favorite thing? And whenever you read this, you think, how awesome would that be to be Mary here, to have Jesus saying these things to me and to no one else at that moment? And here's the beautiful thing, he does. In fact, that's one of Jesus' favorite things to do, to speak to you, his child, through his word. You know, when I was in the parish pastor in Greenville, Wisconsin, I thought, and I still do think, I had one of the greatest jobs in the world. I know you can't call it a job, but you know what I mean. One of the greatest jobs in the world. I got to stand in front of God's people that he bought with his own blood and say, your sins are forgiven. Your Jesus loves you. He lived for you. He died for you. He rose for you. And he is coming back to take you to heaven guaranteed. I got to see the joy in a new Christian's face coming through Bible information class when it suddenly dawned on them the freedom from guilt we have because of what Jesus has done, sometimes with tears in their eyes. I got to hear the excitement in their voice as they talked about how sitting at Jesus' feet in his word and living for him has changed their lives forever. I get to sit at the bedside of so many lifelong disciples of Jesus who would say with confidence from their deathbed, yeah, even from their deathbed, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I got to see miracles every worship service, every Bible class, when I realized that each person here is a walking miracle of God because they, like Mary, chose what was better. And now as a professor at Martin Luther College, and I'm not saying this because I'm from there. I'm not saying this because I'm biased. If you ask anyone up there, I say it all the time. I get to see the incredible gifts that God is giving to his church in the coming years. I have the privilege of being part of their training as to be pastors and teachers and staff ministers. I get to hear their stories and continue to encourage them. Hear their stories about how a friend or a family member or a fellow church member said something to encourage them, and that's why they're at MLC. Sometimes it wasn't a very big thing at all. And I guess that'd be my encouragement for you today. The fields are ripe for harvest. Who do you know that would be a great full-time Mary? Who just loves what Jesus has to say, who loves his word, and then can get up and share that with other people? Again, sometimes it doesn't have to be a big encouragement, but when you see those gifts, give that encouragement. You know, all those things that I just listed, those are a few of my favorite things, and no one and nothing can take them from me. And the beautiful thing is, there are a few of Jesus' favorite things too. And so when you're prioritizing your time, be Mary in that sense. All right, make time to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him. Encourage your friends to come. Encourage your family to come, especially for the souls entrusted to your care. Encourage your kids to come. And of course, you come. Sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him. Julie Andrews ended her song by saying, when the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad. Friends, when you're worried and upset about many things in life, when your heart is divided and your attention distracted, simply remember your favorite thing, to sit at your Savior's feet like Mary did, and then you won't feel so bad. May God bless your time in his word, because what he tells you there will never be taken from you. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.